There is a blogger that I read online, an online diary, a weblog, and his first name is Todd, and he is a Lutheran minister in Poughkeepsie, New York, and he always writes about theological topics that are very current to the day in which we live. And he was writing about our gospel reading from worship this morning from the lectionary. And the title of his blog for this week is, Were the Hearers in Capernaum Paying Attention? Were they really paying attention to Jesus' teaching and his miracles? And Todd wrote that whenever Jesus gets really angry, he finds himself sitting up straighter, paying closer attention to what Jesus is saying. That he felt more connected whenever Jesus laughs or shouts or get emotional, whenever his actions reflect his human nature. And he also believes that underneath the complex gospel proclamations that we recite in our Nicene Creed, and there are many that follow one after the other, things such as God from God, light from light, true God from true God, there is someone behind all of that theology who wants better things for us. Who, whenever he is wanting these better things for us, showing his human nature, reveals that Jesus could be stung by apathy and criticism just as we can be. Which got me thinking about my sermon this morning. What exactly got under Jesus' skin when he was talking to his hearers in today's gospel reading? What exactly was bothering Jesus in that conversation? So when we think about what would possibly be bothering Jesus that morning that he was speaking to the listeners in Capernaum, maybe we can understand a little bit more about what gets under our skin. If we can learn a little bit about what's bothering Jesus, maybe that'll reveal something about our own human nature and what can get under our skin. So I want to talk about, initially, his hearers. What were the people in Capernaum like? What was their community like? What are his hearers like, you know, those many centuries ago? Now, the city of Capernaum had about 1,500 people when Jesus was preaching and when he was teaching in that community. It was a simple fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. Weren't a lot of revolts. The Romans didn't have a garrison near the city of Capernaum. Kind of an ordinary small village in that day. Nothing especially sinful, no Sodom and Gomorrah behaviors. But apparently, in looking more closely at this reading in our gospel this morning, Jesus' main complaint is that they are apathetic whiners. You distill down his comments, and he's trying to tell them, you have this sense of apathy about the things that I am doing in your midst, and yet even with all of those miraculous things in your midst, you are complaining like children can complain. Which is pretty amazing if you think about what kinds of things happen in this tiny fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. So let me give you a hint about some of these things that happened in this city of Capernaum. There are many apostles who called Capernaum their hometown. There's Peter and Andrew, Matthew, the tax collector, James and John. This is the hometown of many of Jesus's apostles. And it's also a very important village for the public ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to talk about is Capernaum. Do you remember when Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath and he created a ruckus by teaching in the synagogue? That happened in Capernaum. Do you remember when Jesus cast out the demons in the older man? That happened in the city of Capernaum. Do you remember when he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law of the fever? Capernaum. Do you remember when the Roman centurion came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant who was back at home, and Jesus healed him because of this Roman faith in Jesus? Do you remember when the paralytic is lowered through the thatch roof? All in Capernaum. After he left Nazareth, Jesus selected this town to be the center of his public ministry. So the people in this very small community of 1,500, you know, word gets around quickly in a small fishing village like that. All of these miracles and public ministry of Jesus, you had to know everybody was talking about that. And yet, here is Jesus, after doing much healing and these mighty works of power, speaking in front of a group of people that seem unfazed by all of that, going about their everyday business. You can tell he's frustrated in this reading, wondering, what are they thinking? What do they want from me? Look at the gifts that I am giving you, this kingdom of God that I'm making real in your midst, and still you are unfazed by me. You are unfazed by this Son of Man that is in your midst. Which is when he compares them to children in the marketplace. When he says, we played the flute for you and you did not dance, we wailed and you did not mourn, he is talking about children. The first line is about children in weddings. They have games and things that they would play in weddings. So he's talking about, we played the flute for you and you did not dance at our wedding. The second, we wailed and you did not mourn. At funerals, children had games that they would play. And they are telling him, you know, we were happy and you didn't dance with us. And we wailed and you did not mourn for us. This apathy that is coming from these people not deciding to do one or the other. The people are not deciding to be joyful or to be sorrowful, so they do nothing. They are apathetic. Then Jesus goes on to talk about John the Baptist. So there's a contrast that's happening in this reading. Talking about the contrast in how the children react. Then he talks about John the Baptist. And he is referring to John the Baptist when he says, for John came neither eating nor drinking. So they are complaining about John the Baptist because he's not eating or drinking. And so they are saying that he has a demon. Then in the opposite of that, they are talking about Jesus Christ. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and yet you are complaining, saying that he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend to sinners and tax collectors. It's as if the people can't have it both ways. They don't want the asceticism of John the Baptist, and they don't want the exuberant joy and the love of God as expressed in Jesus Christ. Makes you wonder, what did they want from Jesus? What were they looking for? Did they want someone to just bless them and let them go on their way unfazed by their faith? Did they want someone to make them feel good about themselves, pat themselves on the back and not to challenge them as Jesus does? I have to say, in looking at today's gospel reading, it seems like apathy and indifference, this comfort with how things were, seem to be bothering Jesus in today's reading. This apathy and indifference to his message seem to be getting under his skin a little bit, maybe making him frustrated to the point where he shows just a little sarcasm. Infants are wiser than these. Just a hint of sarcasm. Small children are wiser than you in this moment. What do you want? I can hear him being so frustrated. All these things I have been given to you, and yet still you don't listen. He sounds so frustrated. He shows them their lives can be touched by the hand of God on an everyday basis. On an everyday basis. And still they don't recognize the power of the Holy. How amazing is that? That is amazing to me that they could walk with Jesus and not see that their lives are touched by the Holy in Jesus Christ. They don't even recognize their own ability to make a difference. To take a stand and challenge that wait and see wisdom that has them trapped in apathy. There is a famous rabbi, Rabbi Hillel, who said, he who refuses to learn deserves extinction. Now we have records of Capernaum for the next several centuries, but it slips into antiquity. And we have no more record of any activities of churches or travelers, and it slips into the sands of the desert. And the world in which we live in, like the peoples in the ancient world, seem to have a lot of crisis coming to us one after the other. You know, the ancient peoples were conquered by the peoples that roved in that very small geographic region between the Tigris and the Euphrates, that fertile crescent. There were many warring peoples that would come through and conquer, so they were under a lot of pressure, a lot of crisis, which reminded me of the crisis and the pressure we are under today. We may not have conquering peoples that cross our borders, but our climate change is causing extreme weather patterns around the globe. Populations are continuing to increase, stretching our planet's resources. There are debt problems around the world causing economic hardships for all of us. And we don't know how we are going to deal with the sick, the elderly, or the needy. It doesn't sound very good for we human beings. So I wonder, are we like the peoples of Capernaum? Do we have a tendency to avoid looking at the truth until it's too late? Do we have a tendency to miss the divine in our midst until it's too late? Going back to Todd's question at the beginning of his blog, are we paying attention? Or in the end, are we showing the same kind of apathy and indifference to the words and teaching of Jesus as the people of Capernaum did? Maybe we believe the problems we face are too big or too complicated. Others don't seem to care, so why should I do anything? God is witness to my own life and the lives of others around me, but I'll just go on about my business, seemingly unfazed. Yeah, people are being dropped through the roof for the miracle of this man, Jesus. There are demons being cast out, fevers being erased, and yet I'm just going to sit in my own little circle and not do anything. God's ways can be both too much and too little for us, like John the Baptist's asceticism or the exuberant joy that Jesus has in the love of God. But transformative discipleship is about discovering God's wholeness as we seek to integrate the teachings of Jesus into our daily lives. That's transformational. In this last paragraph of our gospel reading, this is the transformation that we are talking about. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Make no mistake, following Jesus is hard, it's necessary, and it's sometimes lonely work. You may not be popular in following Jesus Christ. You will be challenged every minute of the day to make choices that reflect the word and teachings of Jesus Christ, to evidence empathy and not apathy. But the closing verses of today's gospel reading are a powerful invitation from Jesus to let his words and his actions sink into our very souls. Emily Towns, theologian, tells us that as important as learning is for discipleship. However, a theology of discipleship pushes us to think more deeply about how we express the lessons we have learned and continue to learn. We do this best in a community of discipleship that challenges us as it tells us the plain truth of our acts and how they affect those around us, like ripples on a pond, or sometimes like tidal waves. So my question for us is, are we paying attention? And may all God's people say, Amen.